This is part two of a two-part episode.
This week, we're going to talk about Conspiracy 2, and to do that, we brought an expert, Sean Main.
It's nice being here.
I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And I'm Sean Watson.
And we are Commanderin. So, again, my internet, since I'm hosting the call, my internet is going to all over the Skype call. And now I have not only asked my children and wife to sweat for the time we're recording, but now I've told them to stop entertaining themselves.
Oh, no.
That works out well all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, they love that stuff.
All right, these conspiracy cards. So you have them, and you play them at the start of the game, and it gives you some unexpected benefits to your deck. Tell us about those.
So from a design perspective, those were really cool, because we got to emphasize the fact that this was made for drafting. And the big twist here that we didn't have in the original Conspiracy was the fact that some of them have color going on. And so you have all those hidden agendas that, instead of just being something that you can easily slam first pick and put in any deck and make any deck better, you actually get cards that are going to float a little bit in the draft, and that was really exciting.
All right.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy when I first saw those conspiracy cards in my first draft, and it was like, wait, what do these do? And they provided for some what I assume is emergent behavior, like where a bunch of spells suddenly pile up and they cost less, and so you can get a whole bunch of spells all on at once and they make things blow up fast.
Oh yeah, and I love the dynamic that we get of having the really weak creature that, you know, no one else is trying to take Lizard Warrior.
Right.
So great, I've got six of them and they're all 5/3 for 3 mana or whatever, and that is really, really fun, that like build your own monster kind of feeling that they have.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of like you are building this secret cadre of elite warriors that no one understands or expects. Yeah, awesome.
How would you get conspiracy cards into Commander games? I'm trying to think about this.
It's tricky, because they're just going to be free stuff. And, I mean, if someone has a neat commander variant that uses, lets people play with conspiracies, I would love to hear it, because that sounds awesome. And some of them could work for that, but some of them, it'd be trickier.
I had a small idea. So if every player turns up with 3 conspiracy cards of their choice, and you take one, put it face down, and you choose one of your opponent's 3, and put it face, this is at the beginning of the game, put it face down into a pile, and then an opponent can give you one, put it face down in the pile, and you get one of those 3 cards randomly, and that's your conspiracy for the game.
This is already really complicated.
Really? You get 3 random cards, one from your opponent, one of your own, and one that's given to you. You get one randomly. So you could get Sovereign's Realm, or you could get Hymn of the Wilds. Do you know what I mean?
So are you choosing one of them, and then the other two you're playing this game to figure out?
You're choosing one of them for yourself, like from your own 3 that you turned up for the game. You choose one of the ones from your opponent's piles and put it in face down, and your opponent can give you one, and you get one of them randomly from the 3 you've generated. So it could be good for you, could be bad for you.
It sounds fun.
You never know. I'm just spitballing. I've been trying to think how you can use these cool cards that commander players are going to be getting, and how they're not just dead draws after the draft, so they can use them for their commander games.
That sounds fun. I would definitely try that format.
Yeah. So listeners, if you're experimenting with conspiracy cards in your commander games, let us know.
And if people have good ways of using them, let me know, because I don't want my conspiracy cards I'm going to be opening to be wasted after I've finished playing Conspiracy.
Well, you can always pawn them off to people who are building cubes, because like draft-specific cards, they are worth a lot, especially if they're foils.
Yeah, cool. I've got some of them from original Conspiracy.
So were draft-specific cards like the original... the first mechanic you thought about for Conspiracy?
No, we actually took a while to figure that out. That we knew multiplayer drafting way before we actually had figured out Conspiracies. And then we figured out Conspiracies, but we didn't have hidden agendas. So it was this kind of cool thing, but it was this really narrow space because there's relatively few Conspiracies that you know, aren't calling out the creature, and we weren't sure if that was a big enough mechanic to actually be worth it for the set. And it was probably like halfway through the design of Conspiracy before we started to nail that down as an aspect of it.
Wow. That's amazing, because they work so well.
Well, and the flavor is there. Like, the other thing that's kind of funny in retrospect, thinking back to the original Conspiracy, is we really created it without the heavy flavor integration that just sets are generally designed with these days, but that we had for Conspiracy Take the Crown, that I handed off the set to development at that time, and Conspiracies were called draft actions in like the most bleak kind of flavorless way possible. And I know the creative team really was like, what do we do with these? What are these cards actually going to be flavored as? What do I write there as a name? And it is a testament to some of the people who did the creative for that set that they integrated it so tightly that it feels like it's this almost top-down design. It was really cool.
Yeah, it works really well. And so they're not commander cards, right? Nate, you have some notes here?
Yeah, so these draft-specific cards, they won't be used in Commander, and after their initial draft, they seem destined for cubes. Do you have any teasers for future WotC cube support?
I don't. I think Conspiracy has been the thing where we've gotten to speak to cubes the most, because, you know, it's easy to imagine dropping a Sovereign's Realm into your cube, and that becomes this wildly different experience, but no current cube plans on the horizon.
Okay.
All right. In the interest of time, we were going to talk about some single cards, but we have basically only one pair, I think, that'll work out, and it ties into a patron question.
Patron Christine Bjarnason asks, I'm a big fan of both Doretti, Scrap Savant from the earlier 2014 set, and Grenzo Dungeon Warden from Conspiracy 1. Any chance we can get some information about the color swap that happened in Conspiracy 2? The Reddy's now red-black, and Grenzo is now mono-red.
Yeah, they've swapped colors, and it was fun. Mel Lee got to write a story about these two characters hanging out together and crossing names off of Doretti's hit list. So with Conspiracy 2, you know, you can imagine that a few years have passed in terms of the story, and there's rising fortunes and falling fortunes, and now Marchesa has taken the throne, and one of the biggest tools that we have is design to express kind of these changes in character that are happening are shifts in color. And so that's where Silvala has shifted her role a little bit. So she's moved from being green and white to being much more for a forest. And Grenzo, who was a little bit more ambitious the first time around and in charge of the dungeon, well, now he's just starting riots, and he's the goad lord in this set. And so all of it was sort of to express these shifts in character that were going on.
Yeah, listeners, do not get confused. Grenzo is not actually a goat lord.
I should enunciate better. The goad lord.
No, you did it clearly.
Nope, still can't say it.
Are you suing the makers of the film The Krampus for image rights to Grenzo?
Now, how heavily involved was creative in the design of this set? because you talk about these color changes.
Much more so.
Yeah, and so obviously they had an impact in design. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Kelly Diggs was the creative lead, and Mel Lee did the names and flavor text, and Cynthia Shepherd was the art director for the set. And particularly Kelly was involved very, very early on, and he was talking about what he would want to see from kind of these shifts in character. And both of us were saying, like, well, we want to show some of the original cast of Legends, but also we want to make sure there's some space that some of them have been ousted and some new characters are getting involved. And so it was much, much more integrating that creative element, particularly at that top level of the Legends and the Planeswalkers.
Well, it worked out really well because the set is incredibly flavorful. Fiora feels like it's much more developed than for the first Conspiracy.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, and I think that the story between the characters and the conflict, the power conflict, right? Is that something that we're likely to see over time? We're not going to see, for example, an Eldrazi invasion of Fiora.
I think Fiora is so much about politics at this point. I should also say back with the original Conspiracy, when there was that kind of blank, flavorless slate, and the Adam Lee, who did the creative then, he came in and watched a Conspiracy game for 45 minutes, and I invited him, like, oh, do you want to join us and actually get to play with the set? And he's like, no, I just want to see the dynamic that's going on here. And he leaves after 45 minutes and sends an email that's like, oh, yeah, no, it's politics and it's backstabbing and it's maybe this kind of Renaissance Italy where you've got the different families vying for power. And it was like, wow, you just suddenly distilled everything that was going on in our game in that one moment of watching just a little bit. And so it really, the whole Fioran kind of social dynamic was really trying to be a reflection of the Conspiracy games themselves.
Oh, that's cool.
Fiora has quickly become my favorite plane. It's displaced Ravnica.
Displaced New Phyrexia?
Too long on... New Phyrexia. Phyrexians are my favorite bad guys. Ravnica is my favorite plane, but I've been there too much. Fiora's got for me what I think I used to take from Ravnica, but lost slightly, which is that different, it was guilds rather than families in Ravnica, but different groups with strong identities sort of duking it out in the back alleys and conference rooms of their plane. Love it.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a really good correlated question there, which is, does the footprint of Conspiracy block out the opportunity for political machinations of this level in Ravnica?
I don't think so. I think the political kind of intrigue is going to look very different when we do it in a set that's built first and foremost for 1v1 play. But and I mean, if we were to do another thing that's along the lines of Conspiracy, I certainly think we could consider other places. I don't know exactly what that would look like, but I mean, I would enjoy seeing political intrigue in Ravnica, for example.
Hmm. Yeah, good. Okay.
Good. House Demir approves.
So I have a question about White's creature tutors. With Recruiter of the Guard and Eldritch Moon's Thalia's Lancers, we are seeing White gaining the ability to tutor creatures. Is the color pie shifting?
It's not necessarily shifting, although this is one of those places that we've actually had some very heated conversations about what the color pie is. Each color has some ability to tutor up the kinds of things that it is itself best at. And traditionally, that's been green for creatures, but white really, it is the color that's best at small creatures. And so we've been playing around a little bit more with white tutoring and white generally being able to kind of find creatures for itself.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How many fingers do you have on each hand, Sean?
I'm hesitant to say that it is white is just gaining tutors entirely, but we're playing around certainly more in that area than we used to.
Does white also get more card draw and maybe a little ramp next?
Now white gets to do everything?
No.
Yeah. White becomes the new black is what you're saying there.
Now, we have some patron questions we really want to get to.
Patron Mason Dintally asks, did you have a large part in the development of Extort? And if so, how many versions did it go through before its final form?
Yeah, actually, Gatecrash was one of the first things Return to Ravnica was the first set I was on a team for, but I had a little bit of a hand in Gatecrash and made the battalion mechanic before I got to Wizards as part of the Great Designer Search.
Yeah, nice.
And Extort was one where this is now taxing my memory because it's going way back, but it was something where there was a hole in what the Orzhov mechanic was supposed to be. Orzhov is really tricky to figure out mechanics for based on their flavor and what the white-black overlap is. And we were looking for something that was good over time and could be in this kind of bleeder-style deck. And I think I suggested something that was very close to what Extort looked like in its final version. Actually, other than the big multiplayer aspect of spreading out across all players, I think that was exactly how I pitched it.
That's a great mechanic. We use it a lot.
Life drain and life gain. Patron, an EMA pack winner, Russell Lee, asks, was there ever a worry that reprints that could not be tied to Fiora from a story perspective would negatively impact the flavor of the plane, for example, Phyrexian Arena?
Not really. We knew that the set needed to be mainly built on reprints. And again, thinking way back to original Conspiracy, there was this momentary notion that maybe we pretend all of the reprints from the world are down sort of under Paliano in the wildlands. But that doesn't work because we did feel the need to do things like Phyrexian Arena or other things that call out place names, and we didn't want to try to shoehorn them into Fiora in any sense. So it was kind of this stark divide of like, no, the reprints, they live wherever they lived, and the new cards are the thing from the plane. So we weren't too worried about that.
Yeah, but Phyrexian Arena specifically could have been something like Senatorial Debate.
Sure, but
with just as much flavor.
I think it's really cool, actually, that we've got Phyrexian Arena as this like sudden snapshot cutaway to here's Koth still on New Phyrexia, holding the torch and fighting Phyrexians. It's one droplet of story that we get to put in there that nods towards this other world. I think is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a foreshadow.
I heard a little bit of, oh my god, if they put Eldrazi on Fiora, I'm leaving this game. When Inquisition of Kozilek, I'm blooming leaving this game when Inquisition of Kozilek got dropped. People were like, that better not be an indicator. I think people are Eldrazi'd out.
I think we confused people a little bit with that reprint coming out on the first day because we didn't fully message, hey, this is the same thing where this is not part of the story. You're just seeing these kind of cutaways to other things.
What's going on that art for Inquisition?
It's a vampire getting murder-cuted.
With a headbutt?
Yeah. Well, it's Kozilek's way of reading your mind is to put his head inside your head.
True, true.
It's a manual override.
Nice.
Russell Lee also asks, were there ever plans to use planeswalkers already available in the main multiverse canon in Conspiracy, or would that risk muddling the storylines?
Mm-hmm.
I think we used Conspiracy It takes place, I mean, these characters can walk from world to world, and that's their whole identity. We were looking at it a little bit more as an opportunity to pay off Doretti because he was already connected to the plane, and same with Dak in original Conspiracy, and then set up a new character who we're excited about. So certainly we could have brought in other planeswalkers showing up here with some kind of thing to do, but that was never a big part of the conversation this time around.
So this is more establishing more of an existing place than advancing the quote main storyline.
Yeah. This is definitely not tied in right now to the main story of the Gatewatch that's going on.
So Conspiracy 3 won't be Conspiracy 3 Gatewatch Solves Politics.
Probably not. I don't think Jace is the best character for this. He would make things too easy.
Yeah, but Gideon.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Well, if Liliana sends zombies to the voting booths.
Liliana would be really fun to see in Fiora. I will say that.
It would be like watching a sequel to the film Dangerous Liaisons, where the Avengers turn up to...
Okay, but tell me you wouldn't want to watch that movie.
Yeah, I would watch that movie. That's true. Only if it's to watch Thor punch Keanu Reeves in the face for that accent. Oh, Keanu. Oh, no.
Whoa.
Anyway, whoa. I'm a French courtesan, dude. Wee. Huh?
Okay.
Patron Bradford Heron asks, which mechanic went through the most changes while creating Conspiracy 2?
Definitely the Monarch mechanic. All of the others, we more or less figured out the kind of space that we wanted them to live in, and then they were doing exactly the thing they wanted to from the beginning. We had a couple mechanics that we killed along the way because the set was kind of overstuffed, but that Monarch, like figuring out exactly what it was supposed to do, was just such a process of iteration.
If Queen Marquesa was a candy product, what flavor would she be?
Oh, the tough questions.
It's the sort of question we expect from Bradford.
She would be like the candy apple with razor blades inside.
Ooh. Oh, it went dark. Oh.
So, going back to original Conspiracy, I remember her art description really well. Because it was, again, Adam Lee, who did a lot of the original creative, he had a real poetry to him when he wrote art descriptions. And it was, this character is an assassin. Not the kind who comes in through the window, but the kind who you invite in through the front door. And that's just such a beautiful encapsulation of the character that I love that.
That new art, by the way, magnifique.
Yeah. Definitely. There's
something about it that says everything you need to know about that card.
Yeah, you need to go back and, you know, do a Mark Rosewater and give everybody high fives, because this set, this is a hit on all aspects.
I will let them know.
Well, high fours or high threes in some cases.
Yeah.
Patron Hunter Pruitt asks, hey, Sean, how has the environment of Magic changed as a whole since you first came up with and presented the idea of Conspiracy? And how has that change affected the design of Conspiracy 2?
That is a big question. I think the biggest change that we've had is how much flavor is a secondary factor versus something that we're thinking of up front. Origins was a big one for me and big one for the company in terms of how much we are letting story kind of lead things. And like I was saying before, really we were thinking about the characters and thinking about how has Fiora changed from the beginning of design of Conspiracy 2. So that was a big shift.
When designing a set like Conspiracy, how much do you have to weigh other formats? This set is obviously designed as a standalone draft environment, but how much do you have to consider the other formats in which the cards are legal?
So it's definitely a factor. Normally with a set, we're thinking of kind of the limited environment first, and limited both from the perspective of people who are going to draft with it, but also that's a good way of sort of getting insight into kind of casual players who are playing things with sort of fewer cards overall. And then we're thinking of standard second. Here where there's not standard being fed, we had a little bit more space to look at Commander, look at older formats and say, hey, how are these new cards going to be able to touch those formats? And I mean, certainly as we were designing the different legends, we had an eye towards Commander.
Excellent. Friend of the show, Bruce Richard at Manaburned asks, was the overlap of drafters and multiplayer gamers larger or smaller than you expected?
I knew there was going to be an audience for Conspiracy that was people who were excited about multiplayer. I did not expect the number of people who were trying out multiplayer for the first time through Conspiracy. And I've heard a couple people say, hey, I'm really, really spiky, but Conspiracy Take the Crown looks really good, and I'm excited to play it. So I'm real excited for those people to be getting to try out multiplayer experience through Conspiracy.
All right. Yeah. Was there an issue with players not buying draft sets of the original Conspiracy? He's also wondering why it is also being sold in 3-packs.
Oh, so there's the kind of, the draft sets, the triple plays, I think they're called, in particularly for like mass market. I think it's mostly intended for the Walmart Target type Magic player might not be as tuned in for what's happening with Conspiracy specifically. So there's a lot of people who are invested players, obviously, purchasing in those kind of places, but it was an opportunity to help message, hey, you know what? The most fun you're going to have is opening, getting 3-packs and getting your friends together and doing this crazy thing called drafting, if the person didn't know about that.
You think they'll, as their first draft experience, they'll be able to roll with the Draft Matters cards?
It's really interesting. I've seen some people play Conspiracy as their first draft experience, and I actually think the multiplayer, and I'd be curious the take you guys have on this, that multiplayer can be friendly in certain ways to newer players, because there's not as much pressure on you to constantly be acting, and you can watch how other people interact, and there's a little bit more of that ability to sit back and let other people fight and only get into things. You know, you don't need to be stealing the crown until it's time that you're ready to. So I think there's a little bit where it can be friendly to newer players in that regard, actually.
All right. Shivam Butt at Electrotal says, you guys have shown a remarkable willingness to reprint cool and high-demand cards in Conspiracy and Conspiracy 2, including arts that were previously only on Judge Foils or other promos, and you've also shown a willingness to include cards from outside the Fiora setting itself. With that in mind, where are my new art Finhorn elves, Sean?
Shivam, I'm going to break your heart, because they were back in original Conspiracy in the design file I handed off. They were there, and they got cut for reasons, and I don't know if they ever were in Conspiracy 2, but those Fintorn elves are beautiful, and someday we need to find a home for them. I know, I'm going to break his heart there.
Eric Landis at Proggy Boog says, okay, after seeing all the spoilers this week, it's really hard for me not to ask this. Was the reprint policy in Conspiracy 2 different than in MMA, MMB, EMA? Is the power level a concern? Because this set looks really pushed.
So I think there's a little bit in the difference of the perception that Conspiracy is getting. Conspiracy has all of the new stuff in it to be exciting. And so anytime we show off Show and Tell or Inquisition or other saucy reprints, that it kind of, it's gravy on top of already having all of the new cards and all of the new stuff to get excited about. The Master's Edition sets, that's their bread and butter. They get to do a lot more exciting reprints, but that's kind of every one of their cards. That's all that you have for conversation. So I hope Conspiracy wasn't pushed beyond kind of the... what it's the amount that it's getting to put in exciting reprints, but we shall see on that one.
Yeah, Berserk is pretty pushed.
Berserk is exciting to get in there. I totally agree.
Show and Tell.
Yeah, Berserk and Show and Tell and an uncommon Ghostly Prison.
Mm-hmm.
It was always uncommon.
Well, yeah, but since then it's become both very popular and it has an amazing effect. I'm wondering if you see a lot of Ghostly Prison, like if there's a lot of warping around Ghostly Prison in a draft. Of course, it's uncommon, so you're only going to see about one of them. So,
I think its price is largely due to the fact it was only ever printed in Kamigawa and like the odd place that wasn't the easiest to get hold of here and there. And I think this will shotgun the price of Ghostly Prison.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking finances, which is great because I need more and I only own two.
Yeah, seriously. I think I only own one of them and it's in Kara Metro. And of course, Sean Main cannot comment on this. cannot comment on this particular topic.
I'll say with things like Berserk and Show and Tell, a lot of what we were looking for is where those exciting reprints were going to be really fun if you open them in a draft. And Berserk definitely does that because, you know, you get that dynamic of I'm berserking your creature and helping you take out someone and also killing your creature along the way. So it's really, we wanted reprints that were going to be fun when you open them in draft as a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, where's my Path to Exile? I was looking forward to that. I would bet my mortgage on seeing a Path to Exile.
Whoa.
But no.
more things for you to take up with Ben Hayes.
Oh, is that he's doing?
Ben Hayes!
No.
Bless you, Ben.
And you also
Hayes.
Get to thank him for everything that is in there. So please don't think I put in fun things and he cuts them out.
Well, I'm only joking when I say this, but a pox on his house. A pox, I tell you.
Pox? Yeah, I think that was in there, too, at one point.
No. I want to know who cut Damnation. Come on, we're under NDA. You can tell us who removed Damnation from this set.
Oh, Damnation. Is that a card the players have been clamoring for?
One or two people have asked for it. I still think we'll get that in a sealed Commander product, you know.
No, because that would be the the true name nemesis of the set. It means that they'll get lopsided sales and then have to bundle all of the others in. If you want one of those, you have to bundle all the other sets in.
There's a fun question. If you had to pick a card from each of the five colors that they would like, you could put one in each of the Commander Precon decks, so they're all stupidly expensive when they're sold price. Which five cards would you choose? Damnation would be the black one, I think.
Yeah.
I will say, I mean, if this is something you want to comment in on, certainly we have heard the clamoring for Damnation.
Excellent. That's good to know. Wait, give us Damnation, Sean. Sean, give us Damnation.
That's your promise.
Quote, promise.
That's his promise, yes. Damnation in the next set.
Say something non-committal, Sean.
I'll say the phrase. No, that's terrible. That's terrible. Please cut that one out.
All right, yeah, that'll be cut.
Can you imagine just the sound clip of it? And put it on Reddit and just let the community go. Oh, God. And we'd never talk to anyone from Wizards ever again.
Never.
It's the equivalent of dropping the mic, saying "F you all," and just walking off the stage.
And for what? Yeah, it's not even like it's a big reveal or something. It's
Well, yeah, this has been a blast, Sean. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely, thank you guys. Sorry if some of my answers got long-winded there.
No, the longer the windier, the better.
That's what we want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so, listeners, new quiz time, because we're exhausting the Wheel of Walkers rapidly. We've got a new game. It's called Sean's Puzzle Box. And that's sponsored by Leovold, Emissary of Trust. So, I'm only going to explain these rules once, so listen carefully. And each round, you start with banked 10 points. I'm going to generate a random artifact from Gatherer, and you can either pay in 5 points to get the abilities of that artifact, 1 point for the set, all sets it's been printed in, 1 point for its rarity, 1 point for its CMC, and 1 point if it's a creature and gets power and toughness. If you take them all, then you only get 1 point, obviously, because that will be 9 points to get all the information. Understand?
Yes, understood.
I think so. Sure. Okay, who wants to go first?
We should allow our guest to go first. Or does he want to see how it's done?
Why don't one of you go first?
Okay, well, I'm generating a random artifact now while you decide who's going first.
I'll go first. I'll take the pain.
Nate, could you press the button on the top of the puzzle box for me? Then all the listeners will hear the sound of it working. There it is. Okay.
I'm no joke biting my nail. I'm that nervous.
We have a generated artifact. Who's going first? Phil, are you going first?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, Phil. At the moment, you have no information whatsoever. So what would you... You can just take a guess for 10 points at one of the many thousands of artifact cards printed. But I presume you want to buy some information. Yes. Where would you like to start?
Sean, I'd like to buy the converted mana cost of the artifact, which you said would include color if there's color in it.
Correct. That is correct. It is one colorless mana.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What set?
This card is an Odyssey card.
An Odyssey card?
That's 2 points. 2 points down. 8 to play for, Phil.
Oh, I don't even know. Now I'm lost. Odyssey card, converted mana cost. And I can buy the name, but that wipes everything out. So, Odyssey set.
You can't buy the name. You can buy the abilities. If I buy the name, then you know what it is.
What does an ability cost?
5 points to get its abilities.
Oh, God. William, I might as well.
Okay, so this mana, this artifact, sorry, is 2 colorless mana and tap it, sacrifice this artifact, and add 1 red and 1 green mana to your mana pool, then draw a card.
Oh, God. Oh, I know these cards because I look at them and I cut them almost all the time.
This is for 3 points you're playing for, Phil. You've spent 7 of your 10.
Yep, for 3 points.
This goes in Shatter Gang Brothers.
Gosh darn it.
It does go in Shatter Gang Brothers.
I don't know. I'll give somebody an opportunity to steal for 3 points.
Steal for 3 points.
I will steal Mossfire Egg.
It is Mossfire Egg. Yes. 3 points to Nate. Okay. Nate, do you want to go second?
Sure.
Okay, I'm pressing the button on the box again. And there's our randomly generated artifact from the puzzle box. Nate, 10 points to play for. Would you like a guess at 10 points?
I will... Do I get a free guess at 10 points?
If you want to guess from all artifacts ever made and get 10 points, you can go for it, sir.
But I only get one guess before someone else
guesses. You only get one guess before someone gets to steal.
Okay, I will buy the mana cost.
Okay, for 1 point, this is a CMC of 2 generic mana.
Okay. And I will also buy the set.
This set is an Urza's Saga card.
Come on.
My random generator likes giving me old cards, it seems.
Urza's Saga. I'll take a guess at this point. Copper Gnomes.
It is not Copper Gnomes. Right, if one of you guys can steal for 8 points an Urza's Saga card that has a CMC of 2 generic mana.
I'll say Wall of Junk.
It is Wall of Joke!
Oh!
Oh, snap.
Backfired.
It's absolutely Wall of Joke. Bravo, sir. You might be the first person who's ever going to beat Nate at one of these games.
I had that and Lotus Blossom in my mind. I think those are both Saga, but...
Wall of Joke.
We're generating an artifact. We're generating an artifact. This is for you, Mr. Main.
Mm-hmm.
And the artifact is generated.
How about I will start with if it's a creature and power and toughness.
Okay, it is a creature, and its power and toughness is 0/0.
And to be clear, that's not **. It's 0/0.
No, it is 0/0, not **.
And I can buy the set for a point? Sure.
You can. Okay, for a point, this is a Fifth Dawn card.
Fifth Dawn. Oh.
Oh.
I'm picturing the card. I suppose I can't describe it to you, and...
You can describe it to me, but you'd be only helping your adversaries.
You want the name. You don't want a description of what it does.
No, you're correct. I just want the name.
And... Okay, I'm blanking on its name. I'm picturing it.
Yeah.
If you get these 8 points, that's... That's a 16-point commanding lead, sir.
I know this is making for compelling radio. Me here making noises as so I'm
going to have to push you for either more clues or an answer, sir.
Sun Crusher. That's not it.
Is incorrect. Going over to the crowd.
Can I buy another clue?
No. On the guesses, you have to go with the information that you've been given.
Okay, I will guess Solarion.
It is Solarion.
Oh!
Well, whoa. Nate takes 8 points back. Right from the man that's stolen from him before. Phil, I feel like you might be being outclassed in this game again.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay, we're only doing 2 rounds, Jap, so all these points count.
My opponents are a designer of magic.
and a Rain Man's level.
Yeah, and Rain Man Nate, basically.
Okay, so Solarion I wasn't even thinking of. Skyreach Manta, that's what I was trying to say, or Etched Oracle. Okay.
Just to defend myself. Bad, then. Right. Phil, as I'm sure you've just heard, the Puzzle Box has stopped its mechanism and has given us the next artifact.
Yeah, great. All right, let's start with ability.
5 points down. Okay, right. So this artifact says, tap, add 1 green to your mana pool, and tap 2 and 3 green. This artifact becomes a 5/3 green tree folk artifact creature with trample until end of turn. And when this artifact is put into a graveyard from play, if it was a creature, return it to its owner's hand. That's a lot of text.
I know, and this is another card that often gets cut. And
hey, it's a green mana rock.
I know,
rock.
And I should.
Like
that's
this?
Exactly it. But I don't take the green mana rocks. I take the rocks that produce other things.
If there was ever going to be an artifact for you, a green mana rock should be it.
Yes, and one that makes tree folk, so it's perfectly on theme too. It's
a 5/3 tree folk's odd. Surely it should be a 3/5. Anyway, I'm getting off topic.
Anyway, I pass.
I can jump right in.
Okay.
Weatherseed Totem.
It is Weatherseed Totem.
Yes, I knew that.
So you steal 5 points. Right, Nate.
Wow.
Spinning it to you now.
All right.
Okay, the machine has stopped. We have a randomly generated artifact, Nate. What would you like?
I would like the set and the mana cost.
Both of those. The mana cost is 3 generic mana. The set is Mirrodin, original Mirrodin.
And what are the other things I can buy?
You can buy, if it's a creature, and if it is a creature, you get power and toughness. You can buy rarity, and you can buy, for 5 points, you can buy the full rules text of the card. And obviously that will leave you with a total of 1 point if you buy all the clues. You need at least 5 points, though, Nate. Or 3 points or so and steal Sean Main's one. Mm. That's very tense. The studio audience is tense.
Yeah, it's
and
actually coming
just
down.
Phil.
I am biting my nails still.
How about, what can I buy for 1 point?
You can get rarity, is all you've got left to buy. Or if it's a creature, you get power and toughness. So two things left for 1 point.
Wait, he got the set already?
Yeah, he bought the set. It's Mirrodin, original Mirrodin.
I gotta go with the abilities. I'll buy the abilities too.
Okay, so this will leave you with a whopping 3 points to play for. This card has imprint. When this artifact comes into play, you can remove a target land you control from the game. Oh. And when a land with the same name as the imprinted card is tapped for mana, its controller adds one mana of that color produced to their mana pool.
Mm.
Oh, everyone knows that. I can hear Phil chomping at the bit.
I don't know it.
I'll steal.
Oh, Phil's jumping in.
Yeah, it'll be my only points. Extra planar lens.
It is extra planar lens for 3 points, Phil. Doubling your total, Phil, to 6 points.
Leaving me still in last place before Sean goes.
Okay, last one then. Sean Main, if you don't get this right and Nate steals is the only way and he needs 5 points to steal off you to tie the round. We are generating artifacts. You can hear the machine. Okay, we have our artifact.
So I will take the text of the artifact.
For 5 points, okay. Whenever a player casts a green spell, you may gain one life. I think there's more than one artifact that does that.
Okay, so it's the charm, it's the M10 one. Oh, what is it actually called? This is...
What is it called? My God, these stupid charms.
Yeah.
Phil, if you steal this, you can come in second.
Well, he has to attempt and fail.
Yeah, if he gets it right.
I'm blanking on what it's called. I'll give him the chance to steal.
This is going for stealing.
It's it's one of the original charms. It's it's not the new ones, because the new ones also give you points for land. And the only one I can think of is Iron Star, but it's not Iron Star. Green. Oh, I don't remember its name. Oh, I didn't even play these back in revised. Can I look it up?
No. Well, you can, but it's 10 points to do that.
Oh, 10 points to look it up.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'm just drawing a total blank. I'll kick myself.
Nate, if you can steal this, you'll tie the round and come join first.
How about Worm's Tooth?
It is Worm's Tooth!
There we go.
M12. And there it is. It's a tie,
from
gentlemen.
M12, it really is.
Yeah. 13 points apiece. And Phil coming in. Hey, Phil, kind of you were second, because the two other two people came.
Yeah, I am second.
Yes, I'll once again send Nate his prize in the post, which is he gets to design the Esper Planeswalker that Sean has promised us.
Excellent. Well, this has been an excellent show. Thank you for coming on, Sean.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
You spent so much time with us. You even did that little bonus, Sean's Puzzle Box. So thank you for bearing with us. How can people find you on the internets?
probably the best way would be on Twitter, at Sean Main, and that's Sean with an S-H-A-W-N, you know, as it's supposed to be spelled.
Yeah. Sean with the proper extra letters.
I prefer the mysterious Demiri missing letters. No H in my name.
And then we won't share any email addresses because you need your privacy, or as Sean would, the other Sean would say, privacy.
Correct.
Thank you for taking the time to come on.
Absolutely. A pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This was an awesome show, and we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did recording it. If you want to support the podcast for all the good things we put inside of your ears, head over to patreon.com/commanderandmtg, or just give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We love those. We're going to have an episode where we just run through those 5-star reviews and talk about them again. Maybe do a little giveaway contest. We love our listeners, and we are incredibly grateful to all the patronies, our patrons on Patreon. So come get your gratitude by donating over there. You can come play test with us. And if you donate $10 or more per episode, you can actually come join the special patron chat that we host over on Facebook. Yeah, neat. We have a lot of people over there. It's a lot of fun. Our theme song was created for the podcast by Nate Burgess.
Mm-hmm.
Our logo was created for the podcast by Mr. Picto, who can be found at mrpicto.co.uk with assistance from Kelly DeLuca. And special thanks to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and of course, to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going to our website, CommanderinMTG.com. Our email address, and you should send all email except complaints to cast@CommanderinMTG.com. We have a very special complaint account on Twitter, and Sean will be telling us that in a few seconds. Find us on all the social media by searching for Commander and MTG Podcast, and individually on Twitter, I'm at KetJack.
I am at Copain26.
He's the complaint department. Yep. And I am at Mr. Plorg.
And folks, those complaints do not have to be related to magic. They can just be general life complaints too. Sean really loves them.
I do.
He sometimes turns them over to our customer service representative, Nigel. So Sean, we have a tradition. Sean Main, we have a tradition here that our guest takes us out.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Music.
So friendly.
Music's playing now. Music. Music's playing now.
I hope it's just you singing that song.
Sometimes it is.
Hello? 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 Is it me you're looking for? Can see it in your eyes.